You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class here at KGYM on this Tuesday at 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Great to have you with us. Scott Unesh, Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from his home on the southwest side. Good show for you. John Bonenkamp will join us. We'll talk Iowa football, Iowa men's and women's basketball, and college sports in general with John. We'll do that coming up in about 25 minutes or so, right around the 3:30 mark here this afternoon. Looking forward to that. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media earlier on today in Iowa City. We'll give you the latest as far as Iowa football is concerned and a whole lot more. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every afternoon right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Go to their website to learn more about them and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. It is DuPaco.com. And thanks to DuPaco for their sponsorship each and every day right here on KGYM. Listening in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. We'll talk some college hoops with you on the program as well here today. In fact, Mark, good afternoon. That is our first stop this afternoon because we have got pretty major breaking news, and it's not the greatest news in the world. If you're a fan of mid-major basketball in this area, good for this team, but I got to say I did not see this one coming.
No, very interesting, and good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And coming down from John Rothstein, national basketball writer, that Loyola of Chicago is going to leave the Valley effective 2022-2023 and enter the Atlantic 10. Very interesting move. We know Belmont is coming in to the Valley. News announced just recently. The A-10, I believe, is a 14-team league right now with a lot of teams out east, as eastern as Rhode Island. St. Louis is in the league. But you've got a lot of Eastern schools. Dayton is in there, George Washington, so on and so forth. But didn't really see this coming. And I don't know, it's just fresh enough. I'm not sure it's a good fit for Loyola.
Well, it's interesting because there is a lot of movement this year and especially in the next couple years as far as non-Power Fives are concerned. Yes, you have Oklahoma and Texas. We all know about that. And then the residuals that fell out of that as far as the Big 12. But there's a lot of movement as far as mid-majors are concerned and just kind of a little bit lower than mid-major conferences. And that includes the A-10. There, a lot of this predicated as far as some football moves are concerned. But they're, I believe, losing. You're right. There are 14 teams right now. But If I remember correctly, there are some teams that are moving around as far as the A-10 is even concerned. So you're going to have Loyola go there. The bottom line is this hurts Missouri Valley because with Belmont coming in, we've talked about it with others that on the program, as a matter of fact, that the Mo Valley was definitely looking for another school possibly to join the conference, make it even better as far, and maybe make it even the best mid-major out there as far as college basketball is concerned. That's not going to happen now. You're probably going to see the Mo Valley stay at 10, and much like what happened with Creighton, much like what happened with Wichita State, you've got Loyola now getting a taste as far as the national spotlight is concerned. And here go the Ramblers out of the Windy City and into the A-10.
Yeah, Missouri Valley at 10 right now. Belmont would make 11, and now it's back to 10, at least in a year or two with Loyola leaving. So I don't know that the Valley will try to expand anymore. Probably stay at 10, don't you think?
I would. Got to think, unless somebody I mean, there was talk about what Murray State leaving the Ohio Valley and moving on, but you don't want to have an odd number of teams. You if Murray State comes, they have to come with a traveling partner with them. Not sure that's going to happen. We'll wait and see. This is certainly not going to be the last domino that falls. Yeah, and this is not getting the national attention that, you know, Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12, going to the SEC, certainly, and the previous round of conference roulette. But, you know, for the schools of this ilk, it's pretty big news. And, boy, you had the Missouri Valley looking like it was going to be a big-time multi-bid conference, at least getting a couple in the next handful of years. And now that's probably back to square one, I would imagine, today.
Yeah, Loyola gave the Missouri Valley a lot of exposure with its runs in the NCAA tournament, Sister Jean, so on and so forth. And I don't think Loyola's been in the league all that long.
Yeah, it's been around a decade, maybe a little bit more than that. They came in when, was it Creighton left or Wichita? No, Creighton, because Valpo came in when Wichita State left.
2013, actually.
Okay.
So
it'll be 10 years, and then they will scoot out of the conference. Comments are welcome at 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. UNI fans out there, your Drake fans, your thoughts about this. Just fans of basketball, the Mo Valley, mid-majors, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, about this coming up on Thursday. In fact, I may reach out to him here. Kevin, if you're listening, throw me a text. Let me know what you're thinking out there. He does listen to the program quite a bit. So, interesting move. 64-29 agrees. Curious move. Travel costs overall may be lower in the Valley. St. Louis and Dayton are the A-10's only Midwest presence, but either one of them will bail in a heartbeat if the Big East comes calling. Yeah, yeah. And there's talk about that as well, that the Big East going to expand, but maybe after last night, the Big East has the platform to expand. We'll get to that in a moment. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. But Loyola, we hardly knew ye in the Missouri Valley Conference.
I can't imagine you and I, and Drake are all too pleased with this announcement because, as I said, Loyola, not only a very competitive team, but had given the Missouri Valley some nice exposure. It's an easy travel for Drake and you and I. You know, these things have happened and are going to happen.
If you were Porter Mosier, I mean, probably not. Oklahoma's a great job that he landed at. But if you knew you were going to the A-10 before that, would you have stayed in Chicago?
No.
No. No, okay. John Rothstein, of course, as you mentioned, one of the reporters that broke this story just a little bit ago from CBS Sports, calls it the A-10 has hit a home run by adding Loyola. Great program, great brand, great market. Now, you're not going to make the NCAA tournament probably as much if you're Loyola going to the A-10, but your recruiting is going to go up, you got to think. As far as your money to the basketball program is concerned, that's got to go up. There's no way it can't go up and go from the Missouri Valley to the Atlantic 10. A good conference. It is a multi-bid conference year in and year out, at least two, usually, if not three, out of the A-10 make it to the NCAA tournament. They've got a real good bell cow this year in as far as their A-10 is concerned with St. Bonaventure. They're in the top 25 right now, and who knows? Dayton has been very good, VCU as of late, George Washington, George Mason, St. Louis has had some good teams, and St. Joe's has had some good teams.
Yeah, a lot of these teams in the league have made a splash in the NCAA tournament, some bigger than others, but it is attractive for Loyola since it is a step up for one, and number two, it's a multi-bid league. And up till now, the Missouri Valley, there's been no guarantee. So from that standpoint, I think a good move for Loyola.
And Nick Pataros, who covers the UNI Panthers for the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, just coming out. And, yeah, wow, tough news for MVC basketball. Well, that lasted, that period of 11 with Belmont coming in, multi-bid, 12 coming in possibly with Murray State, lasted, what, about 2 months?
Yeah.
319-366-1600. And now Matt Norlander, who covers hoops for CBS Sports, is saying that the Valley has been in deep discussions with Murray State, Texas Arlington, and our friends, the Fighting Roos of the University of Missouri, Kansas City, to join the Missouri Valley Conference.
Did you see what Kansas City did to Missouri last night?
Yeah, I did.
Beat Missouri by 14 points, and this is a team that lost by 32 at Iowa just a few short days ago. Wow.
Lost to Minnesota by 15 as well. Too bad. I feel bad for the Missouri Valley teams. Hopefully, they can come up with something. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in as far as our breaking news in the world of college basketball as Loyola leaving the Missouri Valley Conference and moving to the Atlantic 10 coming up in 2022-2023. So this will be the last trip for the Ramblers into both Des Moines and Cedar Falls. Coming up this year. That'll be the case. So there you go. Tough news there for the Missouri Valley Conference. All right. Should we stay with the hoops? No, let's go to Kirk Ferentz. Let's go to Iowa football. Football is still the king. We know that, right, Mark?
It is for me right now, although there's a ton of basketball news.
Yeah, there is. But
soon to be wrestling.
Yeah, and we got some wrestling tidbits. By the way, Mark Ironside joins us tomorrow. Just chatted with Mark. And said, hey, you ready to go for tomorrow? And when is Mark not ready to go for tomorrow? He did say, be sure to remind me an hour ahead of time. And I said, yeah, well, who's going to remind me an hour ahead of time to remind you an hour ahead of time?
So, I guess that's where I come in or what?
Yeah, give me a reminder so I can give Mark a reminder. Ben, give Mark a reminder. So, the whole thing right there. Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow. We will talk college wrestling for the first time in 2021-2022. Looking forward to that. The one and only Mark Ironside. And thanks to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, for coming on board again this year as the sponsor of both our college wrestling with Mark Ironside and our high school wrestling and some college with KJ Pilcher, who's going to be joining us coming up during that season in a few Mondays from now. It's going to be Monday because Tom Brands has his news conference at about this time on Tuesdays. So KJ will not be able to join us on Tuesdays. So we move that to Monday at about 3:30, 3:35. So write that down on your whiteboard at home, everybody. There we go. Mark, did we lose you?
I don't think so.
Oh, there you are. Okay. You were very quiet there for a moment. You're still pondering Loyola leaving the Mo Valley, aren't you?
I was distracted. I was reading a statement from the Missouri Valley. It was as you would expect when you lose a player off your team, wants to enter the transfer portal. Thanks to Loyola, and we wish them the best of luck.
Very good. Very, very good. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media earlier on today. It sounds as though it's going to be Alex Padilla at quarterback. Mark, starting the game, but there is talk. Kirk is saying that Spencer Petras, getting healthier and healthier, has been taking some reps, and a chance he will play coming up Saturday. A chance, anyway.
Yeah, he was. Petras was not on the two deeps that were released on Monday. That isn't the ultimate authority, as we've come to learn. But Kirk Ferentz did say today that Petras has put in a couple good days of practice, looking healthier by the day, and should be available for Saturday's game. I would expect Padilla to go, and I think you would as well. Terry Roberts, defensive back and special teams standout, will be out this week once again. In the players' portion of today's interviews, wide receiver kick returner Charlie Jones and defensive back Riley Moss both said they were going to go through senior day ceremonies on Saturday, during which Iowa will say goodbye to 16 seniors. But both said they may return next season. Tyler Linderbaum, All-America center, is not going to go through senior day. He's a junior and kind of brushed off the fact that he may turn professional after this year, saying, "I'm a junior right now. That's all I care about."
Yeah. Also, Kyler Schott from North Lynn and Coggin, saying that as far as players, this according to Tom Cakert earlier on today, as far as the senior players are concerned that have the chance to come back as super seniors, I guess that's the new term, super seniors, due to the extra year of COVID, he says he is not. He has pretty much already said he is not going to do that. This will be his final year as far as playing for the Hawkeyes is concerned.
And another piece of news, Brett Bielema tested positive for COVID. He will not be in Iowa City on Saturday. Kirk wished him a speedy and a healthy recovery. And, you know, what effect it will have on the game, who knows? Could be very positive, could be negative, could be not a big deal at all. But Bielema, just one more person. He's vaccinated and just received his booster in the last week. Go figure.
Yeah, he will not make the trip to Iowa City coming up for the weekend. And you know that eats at Brett Bielema. He had this one circled on his calendar. You know that going into the season. And it's a shame. And we'll ask John Bonenkamp about it. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600. Not so much about, you know, Brett Bielema and COVID, whatever. How is Illinois going to be affected by this? Are they going to be affected at all? Now, when you lose your coach, when he is not going to be, he's going to go through the week. The statement came out earlier on from Illinois, from the AD's office, from Brett Bielema himself, saying, you know, I'm going to be there as far as all the meetings are concerned. I will do everything I can, not in person, but he will not be here for the game. What George McDonald, I think, is going to be in charge of the Illini coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. But when you don't have the head guy there, I mean, it is a little bit of a change. I don't think there's any doubt about it. We'll get John's opinion on it. Do you think, I mean, that's my opinion anyway, Mark. Yes, you can. It's just different. It's just different. Everybody moves up the food chain a little bit. And it's just not quite the same vibe. I'm not saying that this is definitely going to push Iowa over the top. Oh, Hawks by 21 or something like that. But it is going to be an adjustment for Illinois football coming up on Saturday.
Well, imagine, folks, for a minute, if Kirk Ferentz isn't on the sidelines for whatever reason for a particular game. How would that change things? And just save your texts and say it'd be better off, less chewing gum, less note-taking, so on and so forth. But you get my point. A guy that's been around for 22, 23 years not on the sideline. And Bielema is a very emotional guy. I think he, you know, has a tremendous presence on the Illinois sidelines. And, you know, I don't know that it's going to have a dramatic effect, but it will have some effect, I think, just because he's not going to be there.
True. Yep. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. And all you had to do is say, Spencer Petras, and we got people fired up.
What? Why the vitriol towards Spencer Petras? I understand he has had some games where he's not been effective, and Padilla's been pretty good, but people treating Petras like he's a pariah. This is a guy that was the starting quarterback during a 12-game winning streak. Granted, helped a whole lot by the defense and special teams, but it's not like he was, you know, a dumpster fire out there. Kyle says if Petras sees the field again this year, I'm done with Ferentz. And 11:56, if Spencer Petras comes in, I hope there will be no boo.
I agree with that. I hope that is the case. Yeah. And Kirk is, I mean, this is not Kirk's first rodeo. Kirk's not going to put Spencer Petras in a situation for him to fail. He's going to find, if he brings in Spencer Petras, he's going to find a good situation to bring him in, unless there is an injury. And then all bets are off. Who knows if it's Petras? Who knows if it's Deuce Hogan? I don't know. Kirk Ferentz and Ken O'Keefe and Brian Ferentz are the only three that know the answer to that particular question.
I mean, it reminds me somewhat, I don't know about you, Scott, but it reminds me somewhat of a few years ago when people weren't happy with Jake Rudock and crying for C.J. Beathard. And then Kirk Ferentz made that offseason move and anointed Beathard the quarterback. Rudock ended up transferring to Michigan. It reminds me a little bit of that. Maybe it's because everybody loves the backup quarterback. By the way, Rudock cashed a few NFL checks as a member of the practice squad over about 5 or 6 years, so he wasn't that bad.
Yeah. By the way, before we leave Kirk today, talk about Tyrone Tracy. Of course, Tyrone Tracy putting up the tweet over the weekend that you have a Swiss Army knife and you're not using it, which was taken down shortly thereafter. And Kirk taking the high road on that situation today, saying basically this is a young man who wants to play football, and he gets it. And I get it, too. He's frustrated at this point. So we'll see. That's what Kirk had to say about that coming up. 3:27. Go ahead.
Maybe we'll have some input from John Bonenkamp in terms of what he's seen out of Tracy. Kirk actually said it's the drop in Tracy from to number two in the depth chart behind Keegan Johnson is, quote-unquote, not that big a deal. They're all going to play. Who starts is maybe made a bigger deal of than others, but you can't deny what Keegan Johnson has done. Tyrone Tracy has caught 15 balls this year and scored one touchdown. Last year in the COVID shortened season, Tracy caught 14 balls. But in 2019, he had kind of a breakout year. He caught 36 passes. And I think he wants to return to that form. And so far, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah. 82-17, 12-2 record. Be an adult, leave the kid alone. Not that long ago, Iowa would have given anything for a quarterback of that caliber. And I don't want to get it. We got to get to John, and we got to get to a scoreboard and other things today. And, you know, if we start the Spencer Petras should be quarterback situation or not quarterback situation, we're going to be here till. We're going to be here till about Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock when we get rolling with that edition of the program. But at any rate, it is going to be Alex Padilla starting off at quarterback on Saturday, and no Brett Bielema at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. 3:28, 319-366-1600. And a little bit of wrestling news, Mark, to take care of before the season starts for Iowa on Friday. And you have that and other tidbits on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for the folks right now. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue, southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Okay, we'll lead with that. The probable lineups are out for Iowa's dual meet opener against Princeton. Coming up Friday night, Spencer Lee is not in the lineup. That may or may not end up being the case. But if he doesn't go, that will prevent folks from seeing probably the premier match of the meet because Princeton has Patrick Glory, who is ranked number either two or three, depending on which organization. So we'll see what happens on Friday there. The Kansas City Royals, Scott, have announced their coaching staff for 2022. Cal Eldred, our friend on baseball segments, will be back as pitching coach. In the NBA last night, Luka Garza had 5.7 rebounds in 17 minutes and a loss to the Sacramento Kings. On the Kings side, former Iowa State player Tyrese Halliburton with a double-double, 17 points and 10 assists. And finally, a lawsuit has been settled, Scott, in Cleveland.
Oh, the big one.
The Cleveland Guardians roller derby team has settled with the Cleveland, formerly Indians. Both teams, it was an amicable agreement. I don't know if anything financially was involved, but the result is both teams will be known as the Guardians going forward.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of confusion.
If I'm the roller derby team, I want some cash, man.
Or at least, you know, a couple season tickets, whatever the case may be, you know, and some beers. I don't know. They got to get something out of this thing, and I'm sure they did, but we don't know of it. By the way, baseball, one signing today, Noah Syndergaard going to the LA Angels on a one-year deal, leaving the Mets. He either didn't pitch or pitched like two innings all year coming off of Tommy John. I cannot remember right offhand, but did not pitch significantly, certainly, for the Mets since 2020. And
yeah, also in baseball, former Cedar Rapids Colonel Howie Kendrick has landed the front office job with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, good for Howie. Howie is going. Howie could step in at the age of 71 and get a pinch hit in Major League Baseball. Best pure hitter I think I've seen in Cedar Rapids is Howie Kendrick.
He's a good one.
He was a good one.
I was around covering Eric Davis. I thought he was pretty darn good.
He was darn good as well. But he was a little bit more power. When you needed a double, you needed something. Howie Kendrick can handle the bat. No doubt about that.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. And when we do, we're going to talk to John Bonenkamp. And lots to cover as far as the Hawkeyes and other tidbits are concerned. Stay with us. More to come. It is Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the CBS2 Iowa's News Now, with the first forecast center, I'm meteorologist Nick Stewart. Mainly cloudy skies throughout the night tonight and cold with a low near 29. For a Tuesday, expect partly cloudy skies throughout the day, breezy. Southeast winds gusting as high as 25 to 30 miles per hour and warm as well with a high near 58. For your Wednesday, we do expect a cold front early on in the day. Temperature near 48 degrees for high and holding relatively steady. Gusty northwest winds up to 30. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
You never want to leave free money on the table, right? Well, Linn County REC doesn't want you to leave free money in your air conditioner, water heater, or outdoor lighting either. That's why they make it simple to get your energy efficiency rebate. If you've recently added a more energy-friendly appliance to your home, get the rebate you've got coming. You'll find all the information you need and rebate forms at LinnCountyREC.com. If you're qualified for a rebate, just download the form, fill it out, attach the necessary verification information, and get it in to Linn County REC before December 20th. You don't want to miss out on that extra cash, do you? No way! So get everything together, fill it out, and have it to Linn County REC by December 20th. It's just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County REC. Download the forms and get specific terms, criteria, and conditions at LinnCountyREC.com.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You hear the name Alexander Lumber and you think, well, lumber. But Alexander Lumber offers lots of other things too. Their design services can help you bring together any space. They offer free estimates on any size project too, from a single garage to a custom home. And Alexander Lumber carries a broad range of windows, doors, and cabinets to bring your full vision to life. If you don't see what you're looking for, just ask. Your next project starts at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander in Iowa City.
If it's after lunch, I probably wouldn't have fed him to the Titans. I get a little ornery when I'm hungry, and time is everything, people. That's why my sportsbook app has live in-game betting for football. I don't care if the game has already started. If the time to make your move is in the second half, go for it. Caesar's got you. Caesar likes to move freely. That's why I'm partial to the total.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Don't forget, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next, right here on KGYM. And between 4 and 6, Todd and Alex have your next chance to win a Cedar Ridge Bourbon swag bag filled with a $50 Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery gift card, as well as some swag. And don't forget to shop local this year. Grab a bottle of Cedar Ridge Bourbon this holiday season, the perfect gift for those bourbon drinkers in your life. And big thanks to Cedar Ridge for jumping on board, and that'll be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. 319-366-1600, that is a text line available to you. We've got basketball coming up tonight, as it'll be Iowa State warming up Alabama State to the state of Iowa. The Hornets will play Iowa State tonight. They will turn around, go to Iowa City, and play the Hawkeyes on Thursday night. It is Iowa State tonight against Alabama State, 6 o'clock on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. 7:05 is the tip-off for that one. Iowa in action tonight as well. We'll talk about that with our gentleman guest coming up here, John Bonenkamp, and we'll do that coming up here in a moment. Iowa and North Carolina Central coming up tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena. That is an 8 o'clock start. And speaking of John Bonenkamp, much like Tyrone Tracy, he is the Swiss Army knife of Eastern Iowa here. AP, Hawkeye Nation, Iowa College Hoops, teacher of
everything.
You are everything. You are the man. You are.
And photo bomber, too.
Oh, yes. I mean, you guys know that. I mean, my goal is to get in everyone's video at some point, and I always try to do it, and I think I did. I think I did a good job today. I've been a little lax here in the last 2 days, so I've been dealing with trash talking though. KJ Pilcher's been trash talking me, and I think he doesn't know what I can do to him. So that may happen at one of these wrestling meets. But anyway, because he was messaging me before I came on. So, anyway,
I'm very good. Hey,
Bill Hattie would be proud of you, John.
I learned from the master, let's put it that way. So.
Nothing will ever beat the Phil Hattie at the goalpost at the Holiday Bowl.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So what I'm trying to think what highlight I saw the other day that I saw him, and it was a game from the 90s, I think. And I looked down, and there he was, you know, like right there around the camera, you know. And I can't remember what game it was, but I was like, yep, that's Phil. So
he was the master when it was not even vogue.
Oh, I know.
To do that, so
I know.
A little interesting take. Hey, before we get to Iowa, I know you're among your many passions. You're a devotee of mid-major basketball.
Yeah.
More of the Summit League, but the news that Loyola is pulling up stakes and leaving the Missouri Valley. That's a big loss for the MVC.
Came out of nowhere. I mean, I was sitting there. I was writing my story from today from football, and all of a sudden, I get the email statement from Mike Kern. I'm like, wait a minute, where's Loyola going? And I looked on Twitter, and I was like, you know, usually those things, you know, get kind of rumored, and you know, they hang out there for a while. And this came out of nowhere. And yeah, it is a big loss because I know how much they loved being in the Chicago area. I knew how much they loved having Loyola, and they thought it was a big piece of this conference, and they have been, you know, with some of the games they've won over the last few years in the NCAA tournament. And to have them leave like that, I mean, I think they were, I think maybe they were shocked by all of it.
Yeah, I agree.
John, in terms of Iowa football, a lot of places we can go. I wanted to ask you about Tyrone Tracy, and Kirk Ferentz commented about his tweet today, since taken down, about a Swiss Army knife and not being utilized. And in your view, what's happened with Tracy other than the emergence of Keegan Johnson?
I think the emergence of Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce and Charlie Jones. And I mean, I think he's just kind of been maybe lost in the shuffle. And I think early in the season, I think that there were teams that really focused their defense on him and really kind of took him out of things. And then, you know, these other guys have stepped up and done some things. And I think it's just a numbers game. I mean, this isn't an offense that's going to play a lot of five wide receiver sets. And so I think, you know, some other guys have just kind of moved ahead of him a little bit. They've tried to work him in, you know, they've done some running plays with him, you know, some end around things like that. And I think maybe, you know, that there's some places they could use him differently, but right now, I mean, it's just that there are three receivers ahead of him that are doing a really good job.
Yeah. Your assessment so far of Alex Padilla's play?
I think he's been good. And I mean, I think he's been, I think he's shown a little different element to this offense that they didn't have, you know, a few weeks ago. And one of the things that Kirk Ferentz said today, and when you think back to the game against Minnesota, and it's true, that he showed the ability that to throw the ball away, you know, and didn't take a sack and didn't take a loss. And you know, like Kirk Ferentz says, those negative yardage plays can really affect an offense, not just just the physical of losing yards, but there's an emotional toll that those things can take too. And so I think him the other day making, you know, just getting rid of the ball when there was nothing to be had, I think made, you know, I think that impressed Ferentz more than anything else. And I think he's done a great job of just managing this offense.
I got to wonder why Kirk Ferentz didn't make a commitment to Padilla today. One of the first questions asked was if Spencer is healthy, is he your starting quarterback? And Kirk said that they hadn't had that conversation yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a little odd to me. How about you?
I think this is a hard decision. I mean, I think this is, it's a hard thing to do when you have a quarterback who did some good things for you and won games under him. And it's hard to make that decision when a guy gets hurt. And, you know, and now all of a sudden somebody comes in and plays better than him. Well, now how do you handle that? I think for a lot of coaches it's kind of difficult to do. But I think he said some things today, and I didn't catch him at the time, but I caught him as I was listening, you know, to the recording again. And he said some things like, you know, Spencer has his resume out there now, Alex is building one. And I think that's the thing. I think what they've seen so far, I think they want to see a little more out of him. Let's see what he can do here. And so I just don't think he's ready to make that ultimate call that you have to make in this situation, just because of, you know, you've got a guy coming back from an injury. You know, it's hard to take away a guy out of a lineup if he's been hurt like that. So I think that's the biggest thing right now in Kirk Ferentz's mind.
Yeah. John Bonenkamp joining us, talking Iowa football right now. We'll talk a little basketball, some hoops coming up here in just a little bit. But no Brett Bielema. And you know how much this is going to be eating at Brett Bielema, that he's not going to be able to come back to Iowa City. Is this going to be have a big effect on the Illini not having their coach, or is this, as Illinois said earlier today, it's just a small bump in the road, everything's going to be fine?
I think it can have an effect, and I think it can have an effect, especially because I think they've kind of come together under him. And I think you've seen, you know, with some of the wins they've had this year, that this is a team that really likes playing for him. And so for him not being there, you know, does it become a problem? Yeah, I think it could be. But I think, you know, I think they're going to stick to what his fundamentals are right now. And I think it's going to be a tough game either way. But, yeah, I do think it may have a negative impact on them, especially early in the game. But, you know, that's why, you know, as the game goes along like that, I don't think you want to let them hang around, because if they start getting some confidence without him, then they become a tougher team, I think.
John, Iowa had some issues, not some, but a lot of issues defending the run last week against Minnesota. Two backs combined for over 200 yards, and it looked like Iowa was really susceptible to the cutback in that game. And now in comes Chase Brown, who's averaging over 100 yards a game for Illinois. What was your take on what happened last Saturday and what may happen this Saturday?
Well, they're going to have to make a lot of adjustments. I mean, they can't over-pursue like the way they were doing last week that allowed, you know, some of those cutbacks to happen. That, to me, is the biggest thing. And they did adjust to it, I think, a little bit in the second half, but they're going to have to do better at that. I mean, I don't think you can let Illinois control the ball for 40 minutes like you let Minnesota do it. And so I think that becomes the biggest issue for them is how can they get them off the field and not have another one of those games where you're allowing somebody to just continue to cut yardage out of you like the way Minnesota did. So that's going to be the biggest thing, I think, is just adjusting to that and making sure that you stay with your assignments and don't over-pursue and don't let some of those things happen.
John, I just continue to point to Van Valkenburg on the defensive line and on the defensive mm-hmm. unit as maybe the best story of this Iowa team this year. He and Charlie Jones... Taylor as well, but just the strides. This kid, I think this kid's going to play in the NFL next year.
Yeah.
And just your thoughts about him as well.
Well, again, they didn't, you know, I mean, they didn't know a whole lot about him when he came here. I mean, they knew what he could do, but you're looking at it, and you know, Kirk Ferentz at this end of the night, you know, you're looking at a lot of film from Division II games. You don't know what somebody's going to do in that situation. And you can see the way he played last year, the way he's played this year, just how much better he's gotten. And he's been a really effective player for them, and sometimes I think it gets overlooked, but I think he's been really good the last 2 years at just playing his job, you know, playing his position, doing his job, and those are the kind of players that tend to get into NFL camps, and when you get them in the camps, then they start doing good things. So I think he's going to get a lot of attention in the offseason from scouts, and just because of his experience too. I mean, he's an older guy, you know, and I think that makes a difference too.
Jack Heflin, perfect example, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And that's the same. And Kirk's brought his name up, you know, in the past. And those are the kind of guys that I think NFL teams really like to have. And I think Van Valkenburg has done a great job here in the last 2 years of just making a name for himself and showing that hey, he can play at a really high level for a Power 5 school.
Okay, John, percentage-wise, chances that Wisconsin loses one of its last two games, either to Nebraska or to Minnesota?
Oh, that's a good question. I think if they lose either one of them, it's going to be the one against Minnesota. I don't see them losing to Nebraska. I would peg it probably at the way Wisconsin's been playing lately. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat them. I'd say, you know, high 20s, low 30s, somewhere around there. But yeah. I don't see them losing both, but I think if they do, it's probably going to be the Minnesota one.
Yeah, I would agree. John Bonenkamp joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:48 here on KGYM. Iowa takes on North Carolina Central tonight at Carver mm-hmm. Hawkeye Arena, and 8:00 start. This is not North Carolina coming in.
Right.
Trust us on this, folks. They were here last year. The first two games, anyway, your thoughts about this basketball team? Not a lot. Certainly, after the last season, last 2 years, not a lot written, talked about basketball. You don't have Luka Garza. You don't have Wieskamp. But I tell you what, I like the makeup of this Iowa team. I think they could be mm-hmm. a lot of fun. They're not going to win a Big Ten championship. We all know that. But I think they're going to be fun to follow this year.
I think, you know, and I said about them before the beginning, you know, before seeing them, you know, in a game, I said this is a team that I think will be a lot of fun to see how it grows. And I mean, I've covered college basketball for a long time, and I always like those kind of teams. You always like wanting to see what they're going to look like in January and February and all that. I think it's a deep team. I think Keegan Murray is a lot better than what he was last year when he had a really good season. I think Chris Murray is starting to kind of step into his game. Patrick McCaffrey, too. I think there's a lot to like about this team. Like you said, they're not going to win a Big Ten championship. There's going to be some games where they get blown out, especially on the road. But as long as they keep growing, I think this becomes a very good team as you get later in the season. I like the way they're playing right now. I like the way guys are fitting into their roles and doing some things. And I kind of like where they're at right now, and I like kind of where they're going.
How soon in this game tonight will Jordan Bohannon set the Big Ten 3-point field goal record?
Probably in the first 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna want to get it out of the way. I think they're gonna look for him early and get him going, because I think that's always been a big key to his game. I think he gets it done pretty early tonight.
I would agree. You mentioned Chris Murray, people like that. Has there been one individual in particular that is kind of caught your eye this year that said, "Oh, hey, I didn't think that was gonna take place from so and so"? Is there been that moment yet, or are we still waiting for it?
I think he was one of them that I think was one I really wanted to see how he would handle more minutes and some of the things. And one of the things I like about him is he has struggled early in these first couple of games, but he plays well late. And so that's a guy that doesn't hang his head. That's a guy with a really good attitude. The one player I think everybody's going to really like, if not this year, as going down the road, I think it's going to be Peyton Sanford. I just think he has a lot of confidence in his game, and there's a lot of talent there. And I think as you move forward and as he moves forward, gets more playing time, I think he's going to become a lot better, a lot more consistent. I think he's going to be a player that fans are going to really like.
Yeah, one thing that I've been concerned about, John, from the start of the season is the interior defense, especially considering some of the talent in the Big Ten with Gene Dickinson and Coburn and Purdue's big guys. And Rabacha had a good second game, but he's probably playing out of position in the interior, and Murray probably will have to play out of position. How do you look at that situation?
I saw Philip Rabacha in the Summit League, and he's a tough player. I mean, he's pretty hard-nosed. He doesn't back down to anybody. And at 6'9", yeah, he's undersized. And in a lot of ways, Keegan Murray is going to be a little bit undersized against some of these Big Ten players. The key is going to be how you limit those touches inside. And so that's going to lean on your defense out front and how you can kind of pressure teams. If they can do that and kind of keep the pressure off the inside game, they can handle some of this. But otherwise, like I said, those are going to be the nights when I think you're going to see some bad losses, and it's going to get people upset. But I think you just have to make some adjustments and do some different things defensively to ease that pressure on the inside.
We're not going to know anything until Iowa goes to Virginia.
Right.
I mean, that's the first thing. But watching the young Badgers last night, I'm not so sure Iowa's not better than Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's the key is going to be, I mean, we all know who those top two or three teams are going to be. The key is going to be who comes in at 4 through 10.
Yeah.
And, the more intangibles that you can improve on, the better your chances of being in that top 5, 6, 7, or 8. And, so, I mean, Iowa certainly can, I think, there's a lot of potential there to be able to do that. But a lot of things are really going to have to come together for this team.
True. Caitlin Clark is still good. That just in.
Mm-hmm. she just is amazing. It's fun to watch.
She also leads the team in technical fouls. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, there were some things going on that we weren't privy to from where we were sitting Sunday. We were up in the concourse, but I think I don't know why anyone would want to antagonize her, and I think that's kind of what happened in the second half. And I mean, that's just a player that I don't think you want to make mad, because all of a sudden she's going to knock down 2 or 3 threes in your face. And then, so I think some things were being said, and I think she just said, okay, here you go. You watch what happens here. And so when she talked back, I think she got the tea, and to Lisa Bluter's credit, she's like, "I'm not going to say anything to her." I think she was right in what happened. And so I think that was good to see. I mean, I think that's a coach who really understands the game, and I think she understands that she's got somebody really special in her.
She does. I'm looking forward more to the Iowa-Iowa State women game than the Iowa-Iowa State men's game.
Oh, that's going to be, I mean, they're two teams that just don't like each other. And
two coaches that don't really get along either.
And I was going to say, and two coaching staffs that don't like each other. So that game is going to be very fascinating to watch. Like I said, that's a two night deal in Ames. And I think both of those games are going to be really interesting, but I think that women's game is going to be especially fun to watch.
It's going to be fun, no doubt about that. Sorry about your Dodgers, man, but there's always 22.
Yeah, and I mean, we have money, so you know, we'll just go reload and do it again next year. So,
all right. Hey, John, appreciate it always. Keep up the great work, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. See you guys.
John Bonenkamp, give him a follow on Twitter. Does a great job of covering the Hawks and you name it, Western Illinois, whatever. He does a fantastic job with that. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit of basketball before we set sail here today. This is the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 10th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Our thanks to John Bonenkamp for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside's first appearance of the wrestling season. That'll be at 3:15. And then Chris Liss of rotowire.com to answer your fantasy football questions coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Iowa State and Alabama State coming up tonight at 6 o'clock for you, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. That from Hilton Coliseum over in Ames. Speaking of hoops, Mark, not a good start for the Big Ten in the Gavitt games last night. That would be a big old olive, an 0-2 last night. Illinois without Kofi Coburn loses to Marquette, and there's Shaka Smart again. We said yesterday this is the team that Shaka Smart loves to have. No expectations. Coach him up. Marquette's going to do this to a lot of people this year in the Big East, and they're not bad. They're not bad. Illinois is going to be fine. I'm more worried about Wisconsin. That is a young team. Greg Gard, I don't know if he can go through the seat is warm. I don't think it's hot. I don't think he, after last year's somewhat mutiny by the Wisconsin basketball players and the program, he's got a very young team besides Brad Davison. And they did not show well last night at home against Providence.
No, and Davidson is your star. That tells you something. Illinois will be fine. Coburn missing the first three games due to suspension. It's a loss that Illinois did not want to have, but I'm not surprised it did suffer one. But I agree with you. Illinois is going to be fine.
Yeah, Illinois is going to be fine. Two Gavitt games coming up tonight as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Creighton goes to Lincoln to take on Nebraska. I have a feeling Coach McDermott is going to lay it on Big Brother tonight and the Big Red. We'll see. And then it is the rematch of what was it, 89, 90, 91, right in there, the NCAA championship game. Seton Hall goes to Michigan to take on the Wolverines tonight in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I think it was 89, but interesting to see. Can Nebraska schedule Nebraska Wesleyan?
That's of the ARC. Yes, yeah. David and Hudson tells us he was there, and the UNI bench was talking to Clark as well. All right, have a good night, Mark. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class, KGYM.
For the ones who are always in the know.
Delivery confirmed.
For the ones who keep things running. For the innovators and the